Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn, and with me in the studio once again, Senior Pastor Henry Gregory of St. Andrew AME Zion Church and Todd McFadden of the Upperman African American Cultural Center at UNCW. If you have a question or a comment for our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. And Kathleen from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air. And I'm sorry, it's Steve from Wilmington.
Hi. An anecdote and maybe two challenges about the history of 1898. I used to teach school at New Hanover High School. When Isaiah Festival would come around, some white students were all excited about going to the festival. When Riverfest would come around, white students would ask black students, "Are you going to Riverfest?" And they would invariably say no. The white students would ask them, why? Well, why aren't you going to Riverfest? And the typical answer was, well, my grandmother told me that Riverfest was a celebration of when the whites shot and killed the blacks and threw them in the river. Now, what's interesting, and then, of course, the white students would go, what? What are you talking about? So it seems to me that there is room there for much more detail and much more factual understanding of those events. The second thing that I would say is that there are actually endeavors underway to bring the history of 1898 to a wider audience. One is a film that's called Wilmington on Fire, and that film needs the support of benevolent people. And then lastly, I would offer a challenge to any media mavens out there. We could use a walking tour, either through Google Tours or a phone app, a walking tour of 1898 in Wilmington.
And Steve, that's something that's actually happened for special events. I think when the 1898 Memorial, which is sort of on the edge of Wilmington, actually was created, there was a tour. But yes, there is not a regular walking tour that talks about some of this history. And Steve, interesting too that you raised the issue about Azalea Festival and Riverfest. We were talking about this before the show. And Todd McFadden, is that something that we can corroborate? Is that a rumor? Because this is a rumor that I've heard, too, in quite a number of places, that, you know, it's a celebration of the slave ships coming into the port. Is that factual? Is it a rumor? And what does that mean?
To be quite honest, I don't know yet. I've been in Wilmington 4 years, and frankly, I learned quite a lot I'm surprised to find out that I'm not sure about. I would have to look into that a little further. However, I can say I would not be surprised after the things that I've learned, and I've learned just in the study of history that some things that seem a little outlandish have a great deal of truth to them.
And once again, Todd McFadden, before you came to Wilmington, did you know about 1898?
I did not. That was news to me once I got here as well. And so it kind of goes to the point we were talking about earlier, that these things that should be a part of American history that we should all know about are things that are fairly hidden.
Steve, thanks so much for your call. Henry Gregory, what does this mean? Even if this isn't factually true, what does it mean about our history here and the divide between African Americans and white people? What does it say that there's that level of mistrust?
Well, I said earlier, and I'll say it again, before the show, I said that, you know, as African American males and people in our community, we take responsibility for the flaws that we have. We're not saying that we are perfect people. I think to do that is to be responsible for the good and the bad. And I think that for so long, the awful history of 1898 has been hidden, and nobody has really taken responsibility for that part of it. Because once you embrace that, then you can teach that and move on from that. But if you keep trying to hide it, people are going to make up their own endings. You have to end the story, just like the caller said. You have to say more about that. And it's an awful history. But I don't put it past anybody. Listen, and I mean no harm when I say this, but If another person would own another another human being as a slave, if a person would line up a black man and his wife and children in the streets and shoot them because they think that they have a black takeover in Wilmington, I don't put it past them to throw the bodies in the river. I just don't. It just hasn't been written. So if you can't say that the awful stuff that happened didn't happen, and that's not well documented either, then some of the different things that come out of it, of course it happened. We just don't know how much and to what extent.
We don't have a body count. This is something a lot of people have delved into, 1898 specifically, yeah. And I don't know that anyone has been able to say this many people died.
Yeah. Right, because see, when you talk about the if you really tell the history of an 1898, then you have to expose the people who put it together, and this was a major issue from political power on down. A lot of stuff was hidden. Lies were told. The ballots, the voting box, everything happened. All in order for people to get rid of the black man and its power, his power in the Democratic Party in Wilmington. When you do that, you can't tell that history without naming people and naming entities.
And naming families and who are still here today.
So, you know, so you want that to be hidden. And I understand that. But in order for it not, I don't think that they are a part of that today, but you still have to embrace the past in order to move on to the future.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about Black History Month, started 89 years ago as a single week in February, and we're exploring how we handle it in 2015. With us to answer your questions, Todd McFadden of the Upperman African American Cultural Center at UNCW, and Henry Gregory, Senior Pastor of St. Andrew AME Zion Church in Wilmington. Kathleen from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm always so excited when they talk about the fact that there might possibly be racism still in Wilmington. I wanted to talk to Mr. McFadden first when he said that first there was slavery and then President Lincoln and then slavery was ended and everything was all right. Of course, everybody knows that there's still economic slavery and that is the slavery of the present day. I also wanted to mention to Reverend Gregory that I think that things haven't been hidden in black history. I think that no one even cares enough about it to hide it. I think that no one worries that it's important, that it will make a difference. The Democratic Party apologized for the part that they played in the Judy Kaw, if that's how you say it correctly, and that didn't get a lot of publicity. I think that the history that is the most important is the economic hardship that we've passed on through history that makes families not have the power and the money and the legacy to pass on to their children so that we have such a large number of people still in poverty. And if that's the history, we need to talk about poverty and where we are today because of history.
Kathleen, that's a good point. And it was in 2000 that the North Carolina General Assembly established the 1898 Wilmington. They called it the Race Riot Commission. And some people take issue with calling it a race riot because it was, in fact, a massacre.
It was not a riot. It was a massacre. And that's a part of the effort to hide the reality of its history.
And recognizing some of the things that came out of that commission, there was a public recognition that the black community had suffered economically. And so the state adopted a two-part approach. The first was the creation of an economic development committee to explore the possible economic benefits of black heritage tourism. That was strongly endorsed. And Todd McFadden, where are we with that now?
I don't know about that specific effort. I'm a member of the Wilmington Commission on African American History. I know an earlier caller talked about an app or something that would be there. I'm actually working on an Black History app, mapping app
that would create a walking tour
for Wilmington. But she brings up a good point when she starts talking about economics, because, of course, one of the reasons I think that some of this history is not brought up, like, because there are all kinds of implications that are economic when you start to delve into the specifics. I mean, we have parks and buildings named after people who were a big part of that massacre.
Absolutely.
We have people whose property was essentially taken and redistributed to white families. And when you start getting into, you know, the compensation to those families and things, that could get a little hairy.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. How do you prove that? I think it was less than 10 years ago that the state NAACP had its convention here in Wilmington. I'm not sure of the exact year. But one of the discussions was reparations for 1898 specifically. And what do we keep running up against when that's discussed? Is there any way to prove who lost what? Or is that just gone?
I think and I'm only guessing because I don't know. I wasn't here during the time of that convention or, you know, the obviously the years following the massacre. But, you know, one of the things that's done is to simply remove the records. In other words, if there's a deed, people buy houses and land, it's deeds. But if you simply go in and you burn those or you rewrite them, there's not much you can do to on paper, legally anyway, prove ownership or previous ownership.
So are all those records gone?
I would imagine
it is. If you rewrite a deed to a new family and they own it now, they're not going to have another deed that says somebody else really owned it in the first place. And that's a part of the reason that it can't be proven. I just want to say real briefly about the economic slavery. I think Catherine brings up a great point. And if there are efforts, and I'm saying this from just a personal perspective, if there are efforts to regain some of the economic things that happened to us, then we don't see much of it in the community. Castle Street was a thriving black community. You take, for instance, one of the biggest war tactics, and I was in the military, if you cut off a person's a entity's communication or ability to communicate, then you basically separate them and divide them. Well, the Daily Press was the only black-owned newspaper in that time. It was burnt down. Why haven't we recreated something economically so that, you know, you understand what I'm saying? It's like so many things were burned down that haven't been replaced.
Kathleen, thanks so much for your call. Henry Gregory, the part of this two-pronged approach from the 1898 Commission, in addition to Black Heritage Tourism, was through cooperation with the Greater Wilmington Chamber of Commerce, creating a community-based Partners for Economic Inclusion, which sponsored a major conference in 1998, the 100th year anniversary, to address the issue of inclusion of the black community in the greater business environment. So what are we seeing from that now? Todd McFadden is shaking his head.
I wasn't here then. I know some people who worked fairly close with that commission. Bertha Todd is obviously very well known entity.
Yes, she is.
In this area because of the great work that she's done, not only with that commission, but just in terms of preserving black history in Wilmington. Could tell you more specifics about that, but I don't have specifics about that sort of thing.
Speaking about Bertha Todd, who is one of the great community figures.
Yes, one of my heroes.
In this, yes.
Yes, mine too.
In this area. She said once, it really is time to forgive and move on. She's been such a uniter in this movement. And it's really interesting because she takes a very strong public position about uniting and moving on and recognizing that, for instance, there have been public apologies, and specifically Hugh McCrae Park. You know, many people know the history of that park. Originally, black people were not allowed in the park, but their descendants from that family have publicly apologized and publicly welcomed black people back into that park. Mm-hmm. But there are still people, black people, who won't set foot in the park because of the history. What is the right thing to do on that? Should we follow Bertha Todd's mandate to forgive and move on and unite.
I think one of the reasons that I love Bertha is she's brilliant. She's very smart, and she understands that you have to remember something in order to forget it. And so the efforts that she did to kind of bring the story of 1898 to the fore.
She was a member of that commission.
Right.
Yes.
In the first place, then to get beyond it. You can't get beyond it if you haven't brought out what it was all about and exactly what happened. And so I think her, when she speaks about moving beyond it, I don't think she's saying move beyond knowing about it, move beyond dealing with those issues. I think she's saying once those issues have been brought to the fore, then that allows us to move beyond them.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about Black History Month. We have just a few minutes left. Henry Gregory, final thoughts on how we're dealing with the racial issues facing us today and how we handle Black History Month in the 21st century.
Well, I think the caller earlier, I think it was Raymond or Stephen, kind of brought up the thing that I want to highlight in regard to the relations on today is that, you know, it just doesn't matter. I think that if it does matter to each person what the other's history is, then we can really honestly come to the table. But if we come to the table on skewed terms, then it's impossible to move forward to do what we need to do to get past it. So I applaud Ms. Todd, but I just wanted to make us aware of each other's history.
Todd McFadden, final thought.
I think you said that very correctly. I just believe that we have to learn about these important parts of our history and make them a part of American history while still concentrating on them for this particular month.
That's this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank our guests, Todd McFadden, director of the Upperman African American Cultural Center at UNCW, and Henry Gregory, senior pastor at St. Andrew AME Zion Church. Thanks also to you, our listeners, and those of you who called in and emailed. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Join us next Wednesday at noon for Coastline here on HQR News 91.3 FM. This is Coastline.